Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. As many of you know, the purpose of this show and the purpose of the organization that I founded, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, which is BOND, is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. And what we're doing is focusing in on every aspect of the black community, everything, the family, the father, the wife, the children, the community, the religion, the business aspect. I want to understand what has gone wrong and how can we reconstruct our family and our community. As I look around, I can see that we're getting worse instead of better. There's so much turmoil within our community. And so we are here today to try and get an understanding of what is wrong so that we can begin to overcome it. And today I have with me as my guest, Brother Wazir. All right. First, I want to say, in dealing with the Muslim community and the Muslim religion, I'm very lame in that. I don't understand a lot about it. So I may ask questions that seem silly that a person should know. So I apologize in advance. But I want to understand. So I may ask some things that many of you may already understand. But let me say thank you for coming and being with me today.
Thank you for inviting me, sir.
I really appreciate it. Again, I want to apologize if I ask questions that the average person may already understand. I truly want to understand what is the purpose of Muslim, what it means, what do they do, how did it come about, and how does it relate to me, if it relates to me at all. And I hope today that you can help me to understand that, as well as the audience and people that will be looking at this show. For a long time, the only understanding that I got from the Muslim community is from the media. And there was one point where I was afraid of Muslims. You know, I would see them on the street, or I would think that they were weird. Why are they on the corner selling pies? You know, different things, because that's the only thing I knew about it. And I thank God that he's given me this opportunity to sit with you and get an understanding. So I'm real sincere about it, and I do want to understand. I think the first thing I want from you is, can you explain to me the difference between what is Muslim and what is Islam, I believe? Is Muslim the name of the person? Is Islam the religion? Or what is the difference, if there is a difference?
Brother, first of all, we're taught by our leading teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're guided and directed today by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and we're taught that every important event should begin in the name of Allah or in the name of God. And you and I know that this is very important, not simply because we're talking to one another or the audience that is here, but what we're doing today is going to go into the community, and it's going to affect the lives, the understanding, and the minds of our people who are there. We don't want them to have any kind of misconception.
That's right.
So I want everyone to know that when we say in the name of Allah, we're talking about in the name of the Supreme Being. We're talking about in the name of God. Now, to answer your question,
first of all, before you answer that, let's get an idea of who you are. I didn't really tell who you are.
Yes,
tell
sir.
Me who you are, and they'll know who we are talking to.
I'm Minister Abdul Wazir Muhammad. I'm the minister of Mosque Number 27, which is the local mosque here in Los Angeles, and I'm the Western Regional Representative of the Most Honorable Louis Farrakhan.
Okay, and you are located where?
Located at 4506 Southwestern Avenue.
Okay.
That's a block south of Vernon on Western Avenue.
Okay, and your services are normally held, at what times?
Normally, our services are held on Sundays at 2 p.m. and on Wednesday and Friday nights at 8 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, now what's the difference between Muslim and Islam, or is there a difference?
Well, Muslim is an Arabic word, and it means one that who has submitted his will to do the will of God.
Uh-huh.
In other words, a righteous person. Islam is a religion. Islam is a religion of submission to the will of Almighty God. The Holy Quran says that Islam is the nature of God and the nature in which he has created man.
Okay. And how is this understanding translate it to another person? How do we get them to acquire or come to the nature of God?
First of all, we're taught that every human child that is born with a nature to submit to God. So therefore, you're born Muslim, but it's just our leaders with different doctrines that take us away from the nature in which we have been created. If you look at people who have so many different ways of worshiping God and submitting to God, and you see sometimes that submission, oftentimes that submission, according to the way that we are directed, leads to division, leads to all negative things. We know that that did not come from God, and that's not the nature in which he has created us, if he created us after his own nature. If he created us to submit, then that's not what we're doing as a result of his creation.
Right.
Well, that's what we're doing as a result of how we're taught.
And so how is it that we lose that nature? I mean, what is the cause that we get so far away from God's nature into the wrong nature? What takes place? What happens?
Let's be specific. Since we're directing everything to the black community.
Right.
And since you're thinking in terms of improving our condition by working on the black man in America, his condition, how did we get in this condition? First of all, you know that we're not as we were in our homeland before we were brought to America, in chains to be made slaves over 400 years ago. And you know that we don't speak the language that we spoke when we were in our own land. You know, we don't have the names that we had when we were in our own land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even have a knowledge of what those names were or what that language actually is. We don't know where we come from. We know about the continent, but we don't know what country we come from. We have been robbed, deaf, dumb, and blind to the knowledge of ourselves. We don't know our history. We don't know our language. We don't know our religion. We don't know our culture, God, country, nor flag. And it's strange when you find a nation of people, a whole nation of people that all have amnesia. I can see how one man would forget everything, but how can you get a nation 20 million, 30 million, 40 million strong that know nothing about their origin? Did somebody hit each and every one of us in the head, or was there a process that Right. brought us to the state of mind that we're exhibiting today?
I noticed that within the Muslim community, and I am the type of person that want to know. And I have no problem questioning people and talking to different people, walking up to them and asking them questions because I'm seeking to understand. And I noticed that even though some of them have changed their name, they have last name, I mean different name, whether X or whatever it is, they still don't seem to have that sense of how to deal with temptations or how to deal with pressure. How is your church or your religion helping them to deal with that?
Well, first of all, in order to have self-control, you need to know something about yourself.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of Islam here in North America, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is to give us a knowledge of ourselves, which we have been robbed of. And once you know yourself, then you know what is good for yourself. And then you know when exercising control, which direction to carry yourself.
And when you say know yourself, you are referring to knowing your history, where you come from, who you are, and the meaning of, when you know that, that's what should change us?
Let me say this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the most important knowledge that we can get is a knowledge of self. It's more important for the black man in America to have a knowledge of self than it is to have a knowledge of God or a knowledge of the devil. He says because from ourself come both God and the devil.
When you speak of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
yes.
Is that the same person? Is he like the person that we speak of as Christians when we say Jesus Christ? Is he in the same category as him? Or because I hear that a lot and I don't know why. Is it the same as when I say in the name of Jesus or when I mention Jesus? Does it mean the same thing?
When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was physically present among us, he was known as the messenger of Allah to the black man in America. And we are people who have never had a warner before. He was a man that was taught for 3.5 years in a way by his teacher that would allow you and I to be able to understand what had happened to us and to replace those things that have been taken away from us that would lead to self-pride and a sense of dignity that would allow us to come together in unity as one and do for ourselves then what other people right. are doing for themselves.
And who was his teacher?
Master Farad Muhammad.
Master, so he was the teacher of the Honorable
Elijah Muhammad.
And so well, that's another man too? As
that's
well?
Another man also.
And so who was his teacher?
He's a man that was prepared for the mission of redeeming the lost sheep. You are familiar with the Bible, aren't you?
Yes.
Let me tell you who we are, and then you'll understand better who that man is and was. We're called the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. That is our name. They call us Black Muslims, but the name that was given to us by the founder of this religion is the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. We are people who are lost from our own kind.
Right.
We are actually taken from our own kind, separated and surrounded by other than our own kind, and raised up deaf, dumb, and blind to the knowledge of ourselves. And in that position, the Bible speaks about these people being redeemed under many symbols. Example, they say, come, this is an enemy talking, let us cut off Israel from being a nation. Let's break their bands asunder and throw away their cords from them. What are we talking about? We're talking about robbing the people and then separating them and then raising them up in such a way that it's going to take the father of their own kind or the God of their own kind to come and give them back the knowledge of themselves.
What is it about these two guys that you just mentioned, and not to, I just can't remember the name, so I apologize for that, but what? How can you know if they're telling you the truth or not? Is there something that can let you know that's what the problem is? How do you know that they're telling the truth, and how do you know if they're being truthful or not?
Well, bottom line, truth is mathematics, and one is two, and it adds up. You can tell the truth when you hear it, but if that's not enough for you, then you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan among our peoples, what kind of man does it produce? What kind of woman does it produce? If that's not truth, then a lie is very, very powerful to clean a man up, to clean up a woman, and have them endeavoring in this circumstance that we find ourselves in, this filthy environment to surround us, to try to do positive things and to raise children and to educate our own kind, actually subjugating your own desires, your own personal aspiration, to see to it that you can do something for the benefit of your community.
Do you ever become a free person from that, or do you always need the guidance of that person, that teacher? Is there a period when the people come through your organization and you bring them to a point of understanding and now they can go on and live a life, or do they always need that outer support?
Bottom line, sir, religion is not something that you wear as external as a veneer, but it's something that if you understand it, if you listen to it, then it goes inside yourself. It starts internally. It cleans up your mind. Then it makes you clean up yourself and then your surroundings, and it puts you on a course and has you involved in a life that you become a director yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it like this. The founder of our religion is called Savior because he came to save us. Then every one of us who we are taught by him, we become saviors ourselves. But the dedication never changes. We live and breathe trying to do something, to work in a way that will elevate our people. That's what we are for, because since God has blessed us with an understanding, blessed us with a clear mind, blessed us with some kind of objective, and brought us close to himself, then we want to do the rest for our community.
Yeah. I want to get right back just before we go to break. The question I asked about is your leader the same as we see Jesus? And basically saying yes, he's somewhat the same. They're in the same category. Is that right?
I'm saying, sir, that the leader and teacher of the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, he is the same to us as Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you read scripture that you think is somebody that was on the scene 2,000 years ago, if you examine it real well, you'll find that that person was ahead of time for what's taking place today. Jesus said that Paul saw Jesus as a man that was born out of due season. And if you're born out of due season, then what happens is you won't bear fruit. But the fruit that has got to be born today is what the Bible speaks about from cover to cover. And that tells you that in the last days, God will manifest himself by coming and finding people that are dead and take those people and give them life. And when he gives them life, they will be the base or the foundation of the kingdom of God that will have no end after the destruction of the wicked.
And when you say dead, you mean dead to him or dead to the reality of what life really is or should be like?
That when you read about somebody being raised from the dead, you're not talking about raising somebody from the physical dead.
Right, spiritually.
You're talking about raising them from a mental dead. We're dead because we don't know ourselves. We don't know our language. We don't know our religion. We don't know where we come from. We are actually, how you say, in such bad condition that the only way that the prophets could actually describe our condition is just to call us dead. We're deaf, dumb, we're blind. If you look up dead in the dictionary as it applies to men, you're not always talking about physical death.
I hate to cut you off, but we're going to go to a break.
Yes.
And when I come back from the break, I want to get an understanding of your purpose and what are you doing at your organization, all right?
Yes.
We're going to take a break, and I'll be back in a minute.
It's electric!
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
Welcome back to the program. Just before we went to break, I wanted to know what was your purpose. But first, you know, right now Jesus is on my mind, so I need to get a little better understanding about that. I see clearly and without a doubt now, there's a scripture in the Bible that comes to mind. Jesus said that he is the truth and the way to the light. And what I understand now and see clearly is because I'm able somehow or another to not doubt that my life is totally changing. And it's changing by itself. I have no control over it at all. I can see the choice now between good and evil that I have to make. You know, whereas before, where you said that if a person don't know their identity as far as where they come from and their history, that's the problem. But for me personally, and not saying that it doesn't apply to other people, I see that my problem was because I was blinded from the truth. And I can see that it was because of the traumas that I went through as a child that took me away from that truth. And somehow or another, I repented. It was shown to me what the problem was, and I repented of it. And now I can see clearly, and my life is changing. And I don't need any human or any person to teach me anymore. And yet I learn from people. But there's something in me, a teacher, that I finally come back to that I once forgot about, mm-hmm. that is changing my life. And so now it's giving me a different course and I'm able to follow the truth. I'm not perfect at it and sometimes I may slip, but I'm on a different course now. Is that the same effect that the Honorable Elijah, I'm sorry, the last name is?
Muhammad.
Is that the same effect that he has on people?
It's the same effect, but I think before we just answer that question, we should examine some of the things that you said in the light of Scripture. It says, how can they be taught unless they have a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
And how can they have a teacher unless he be sent? If you want to know what it is in Islam that changes the life of the brothers and sisters that you see so affected by the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you can't just come up on that knowledge in no spooky way. Somebody has got to teach you. The things that I tell you, somebody taught me. Somebody was sent to teach me in a way that once I knew these things, see, this is the light. Light is truth. And once the light is turned on, then I can use the light that I have in my mind now to direct my steps, and so I'll walk a better way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not abracadabra. It's not spooky. When you say you got Jesus in your heart, you're not talking about that pump pushes the blood.
That's right.
You're talking about the core of your very being. You're talking about your mind. You say when you get Jesus in your mind, it's the truth of that man and how you accept him and what you believe as far as what he has done that makes you walk a different way.
Yeah. When I speak of mine, and I just want to clear up a little thing. Mm-hmm. What he did for me is that he took me away from my mind, my intellectual thinking. He took me away from that. And what I noticed that he's done is separated me from that, the true me, from my thinking. Because in the past, it was my thinking that was leading me to destruction. Mm-hmm. And it was my thinking that was giving me a false sense of who I was. Mm-hmm. And it was destroying me. And I noticed that he's taken me away from my mind, and now I can observe the two. The real me is looking at the mind, and I know now not to believe the mind. I know that every thought, it's almost at a point where I see that my thought is really my enemy, mm-hmm. whereas before I thought my thought was my friend. I thought I need to study. I thought I need to know this, and I thought I had to present myself in another way. And I see now that my thought is my enemy. And so the Father has somehow or another separated me from that, and I don't give in to the thought. And it's that light that shows me my thought that seemed to be guiding me. Because, do that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. Let me tell you.
Do you mean the mind in the same manner? Is that the way you mean it?
Man is three-dimensional. You're physical, you're mental, and spiritual. Mm-hmm. And you're tied to the physical creation. You cannot get away from the physical creation that God has used in bringing you to where you are. Let me explain to what I'm saying. It's good to fast, because when you fast, it clears up your mind, and it also puts you closer to God. But then, because you're physical, you're going to have to eat sometime. You may fast for 3 days or 10 days or 30 days. Before it's over, you're going to have to eat something, because you're tied to this physical creation. Mm-hmm. Now, the God part of man is not the physical, but it's the connection that your mind has with the spiritual reality of God that exists in the universe.
Right.
Let me finish what I'm saying just for a second.
Sure. Yeah.
So any time that you give vent to the things that are physical and you let them become rulers in your life and let them affect the choices that you make, your mind, the way you go, then what happens is you may find yourself living negatively. You may find yourself sinning, being evil.
That's right.
You may find yourself showing all kind of weaknesses. But once you recognize that there's two or more dimensions to man, and you recognize what dimension is God, and you bring that in such a way that you're able to let that rule, then the physical part, when you talk about the thoughts that you have, you're separated from your thoughts. You're not separated from your thoughts. What happens is, once you connect with God, then he controls the desire, physical desires that may pull you down to a lower level. In Islam, they say to you like this, they said that our desires, our low desires have us inclining to the earth. It hangs on our neck like a halter. It keeps you low down to the ground. But then once we get to the point where we master our physical desires with the knowledge of God and have the control necessary, then we rise and we can do like Jesus, because Jesus is an example of God in man.
You know, and that is true, but isn't there a growing process to get to that point? I mean, even before you start fasting, isn't there a process, though? Because the one thing that I noticed, and the reason I asked it, I really am enjoying this. I want you to know this.
Yes, sir.
I noticed what he did first, he slowed me down. What he did, he gave me peace in my heart. He settled me down. He gave me peace.
Yes,
it's almost like I came to just a halt, and I got peace. And what I mean by peace, I didn't have the conflict and the doubt and the fear. I didn't that desire to have sex out of wedlock, that desire to lie. He took that away because he gave me peace first. Mm-hmm. And then when he gave me the peace, at that point, he started teaching me and showing me. And it seemed as though I get to different levels, and I can see the next step that I need to do to get to the next level, like you, for example, the fasting. I haven't come to the point yet where I see I should fast, but I know because of the step that he's already taken me that I will come to that point. And so before we can get to the point of fasting and the understanding that you speak of, how can we get a person to first recognize that there is a problem and that they need to give up and let God do his thing? How do they come to a point where they stop to get the peace so they can see?
Brother, the key to peace is submission to the will of God. Once you recognize God, then your duty from that point on is to submit your will to do His will, and then He will guide you into peace. He will guide you step by step and stage by stage until you reach the goal of perfection. In Islam, there's a term, one of the attributes of Allah called Rabb, which means Lord in English, loosely, but it means the one who guides you to perfection step by step and stage by stage.
Okay.
He sets the goal and He guides you there.
Okay, you know, there's so much more I want to know from you, but yes, we're out of time. This 30 minutes go by really quick, and that's another reason I wanted to have you back alone, because I really want to get some understanding. I want to say to the audience that this is a two-part series, so if you're just tuning in or if you missed this first part, tune in next week, and we're going to pick up right where we're leaving off now. Tell a friend and tell a neighbor. And again, remember that bond is rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man. Unless we do that, we don't have a chance. Tune in next Monday night at 8:30. Thank you. I really do appreciate you coming.
Protect the family and take back the neighborhood.